should call this talk Stepping Out in Faith. My name is Sheila Tomlinson, and I was one of the founder members of Carlisle Christian Fellowship, also known as CCF. And I thought this morning I'd like to share with you some of the very early beginnings of the fellowship. In 1968, my husband John and I and two children moved into a very big old house in Chatsworth Square. It had many beautiful original features, but needed an awful lot of upgrading, which didn't seem to bother us at the time. We were too busy haunting the sale rooms for furniture for all the 12 rooms that we moved into. We decided to share some of these rooms that we had as bed sits. Some of our tenants were Christians, and some were very needy and needed a lot of care and a lot of love. John at the time was a registrar of births, deaths and marriages, and worked just round the corner at Spencer Street, so that every day he was able to come home for his lunch. Unfortunately, some days when he came home for his lunch, there was no lunch ready for him. I'd had such a busy morning, answering the door from three floors up and coming down every time, painting and decorating and ministering to people and showing them love and care. I said to John, look, you're going to have to think about leaving work because this is too much for one person. I need you here with me. And John began to think, could he leave work? So I often found bits of paper lying all over the house where he'd scribbled down figures to see if he could possibly do without his salary, but he couldn't really. About this time, we had a very good friend of ours called Bill Thompson, a very spiritual man. And he said to John, John, I'll tell you a different way if you want God to lead you. I'll tell you a different way. And it's in Romans 10 and verse 17. And it says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Which meant that we would have to hear a word to have faith in to move forward. Now, we'd never noticed this verse before, but we decided from then that we were going to search for this word that God had for us. We didn't know what it would be, but we just had the faith to believe that we would recognize it when it came. So one night we were at church in St. John's the Evangelist down Botcher Gate, and the vicar was preaching from Luke 17 about the 10 lepers who went to Jesus for healing. Now it says in the Bible, in Luke 17, it says, they went to show themselves to the priest, and as they went, they were healed. And those three words just seemed to jump out at us. And then it was as if God was saying, you won't find out how this is going to work out until you move out in faith and trust me. About that time, we had a young lady called Heather who lived in one of our bed sits. And she came home from St. James's Church and she said, Sheila, I think I've got a word for you. It's in Ezekiel 47 and it says, everywhere the fresh water flowed, as it flowed, it brought healing to stagnant places. What a confirmation. As they went and as it flowed, again saying that we should move out in faith and trust the Lord without knowing the outcome. Now John hastened to hand his notice in at work, and at the same time he was told that the superintendent registrar was retiring. And they weren't going to offer the position to John because he was the most qualified and the most experienced. Now, this was something John had wanted all his working life, to be superintendent registrar. And I said, wow, what are we going to do, John? The new salary was very attractive. But John said, no, we've started this and we're going to go with it and see what God has for it. We've got to trust him in what he leads us into. So John left work, and I want to say that we've proved that there's no more exciting adventure than moving out in faith and trusting such a faithful God. We give him all the praise and all the glory for all the ways led us down through the years, and has established CCF as a loving, caring body who truly exhibits the family of God. Goodbye. God bless.
Are you not going to give
Would, perhaps you might like to move out in faith. Step out and trust the Lord yourself and just see what he has, God has for you. It's a wonderful life. Amen.
I want to talk this morning about gratitude. And it's taken from a verse in Philippians 2, which says, "Work out your salvation with fear and trembling." Now, some take that as a charter for believing that you can obtain salvation through your own good works. But Paul said in Ephesians 2:8-9, "It's by grace you have been saved, by faith. It's not that of your own, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So it can't mean that. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. It means something else. It means out of gratitude for what God has done on the cross. We have to work as hard as we can to express our gratitudes. Our gratitude by the way we live our lives. Now it imposes a problem on us when we talk about the cross, because it happened so long ago that somehow it doesn't seem to be as real as it should be. If you had been at the cross at the time, you wouldn't have any problem in moving into the passion of the cross. But today is different. I want to tell you how I can enter into a real feeling of what God's done for me at Calvary. And it took place in 1941 in Auschwitz concentration camp. And a prisoner had escaped. And to prevent this from happening again, the German authorities picked 10 prisoners and put them to death. Whilst they were being picked, a man who had been picked sighed to God and said, "Oh God, I never see my wife or my children again." And the man behind him was called Maximilian Kolbe, 47-year-old Roman Catholic priest. And he said, "Let me take your place." He says, I'm a Catholic priest, I'm not married, I don't have any children." And surprisingly, the German authorities took his offer. And he died a very slow and horrible death in place of this prisoner. And the prisoner that had escaped got back to his wife after the war. He never saw his children again because they were killed in an air raid. But he lived until he was 93. And he used to give his testimony all over the world. And he always ended it by saying, "As long as I have breath in my body, I give thanks to that man who saved my life." And put yourself in the shoes of that man when he was told he was going to die, and then another man says, "Let me do it for you." You think of it's rather like having a nightmare and waking up and it's not true. Put yourself in his shoes and you realize how grateful we should be that Jesus took our place on the cross and died in our stead that we might have eternal life. Now, the very push of this interpretation that is made on Paul's remarks, "Work out your salvation in fear and trembling," It was illustrated in a prayer that I offered at the end of a funeral service. And it was of a man who died, and he left all his money to his two daughters. But unfortunately, they fell out with each other. And they weren't speaking at the grave. And in my closing prayer, I said, Dear Father, you've given each one of us from this grave. You've given us a mother and a father who have looked after us. They've fed us when we've been hungry as children. They've bathed us when we were dirty. They've cared for us when we were poorly. If it wasn't for them, we would never have grown out of childhood. So we thank you from the bottom of our hearts for giving us good parents, but please help us to thank you, not just with our lips, but by the way we live our lives, by the way we love and forgive one another. In Jesus' name, amen. Now that's the push of this remark, work out your salvation in fear and trembling. Do it out of gratitude, not out of wanting to earn brownie points to get to heaven. Out of sheer gratitude for the free gift of eternal life. Gratitude gratitude makes you appreciate what you have rather than dwelling on what you don't have. It makes you a lovely person to be around. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18 it says, Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for you. Now this moves us from just being grateful to having a spirit of gratitude. There's such a difference. Because you can be grateful and it can be a one-off thing if someone buys you a car and you're grateful for it. But the spirit of gratitude helps you to see goodness and kindness and beauty in every circumstance. And I've told you this before and I'll tell you again. What I see as the best illustration of the spirit of gratitude. And it involved a man called Matthew Henry, who was a minister born in 1662. And in his day, he was probably, arguably, the greatest commentator in the world. He was returning home one late night after a prayer meeting, and his way laid by robbers, knocked him to the ground, took all his money, and when he got home at night, he got into his bed, and this was his prayer of gratitude. He says, Oh God, he says, I've been robbed tonight. He says, and I've been hurt, but oh, I want to thank you that it could have been so much worse. Oh God, I was robbed tonight, but oh, I'm so thankful and grateful to you that whilst money was taken, I've got so much left. Father, I was robbed tonight. But oh, I'm so grateful that no one could rob me of my relationship with you. God, yes, I've been robbed tonight. But I'm so thankful that I was the one robbed and not the robber. Now that is the spirit of gratitude that God wants you and I to develop in our lives. And guess what? When you become grateful to God, we will, by the same token, be grateful to one another and be ready to express it. One day I was walking up Chiswick Street and I met my old school teacher. He was an old man. I hadn't seen him for about 50 years. In fact, when I got up to him, I had to say to him, Excuse me, are you Mr. Seaton? He says, Yes, I am. I said, Do you remember me? He says, Yes, I do. Well, I says, I want you to know, Mr. Seaton, that you were the best teacher I ever had at school. I said, and I want to tell you why. You taught me like a father. That's why we called him Pop Seaton. And I said, I shall be eternally grateful to your input in my life. And I thanked him very much, and that was it. And I was so grateful I had the chance to say this whilst the window of opportunity was open. And then when Shira and I left St. John's Church to form our own church in 1983, there were people in our church that were hurt, especially the leadership. And one day I was at an inter-church meeting of church leaders, packed, the place was packed. And I saw my old curate, Bill Kelly, that had been hurt by me leaving my church. And I went up to him, and he was there with his wife, and I said, Mr. Kelly, I just want you to know the impact that your ministry had in my life. It was life-changing. And Mrs. Kelly started to cry. And I was so pleased I'd said what I did. So thrilled whilst the opportunity came to me, because they're both dead now. And then there was a maths teacher came to me one day and said, John, can I ask your advice? I said, yes, sure. He says, well, he says, I've been living with my widowed mother all my life. And he says, at last I've got the chance to have my own flat. At last. He said, and I'm so excited going to it. But he says, I've got a conscience of leaving my mother. And I said, well, what are you leaving her for? I said, how would you have fared if your mother had left you when you were a baby? I says, come on, it's payback time. It's now your chance to be grateful and say thank you to your mother in practical ways. I says, you'll never ever regret looking after your mother. You won't have her all your life. Years later he came to me and says, John, he says, I'm so grateful I took your advice. So my mother's just died. And now I just want to end my talk by talking about the clause after this, work out your salvation in fear and trembling. Because it says, for it is God that worketh in you to will and to act according to his good purposes. God wants to work, this is the good news, God wants to work with you. He doesn't pat you on the back and say, now I've done what I've done, now get on with it. He wants to work with you in living the Christian life. Isn't that amazing? Do you know the best way to know anybody is to work with them and to live with them? And so the best way to get to know God is to invite him into your life and work with him and live with him. So here we are. This is how it works. And I've said this before and I'm going to say it again. It's always been my contention that I must meet my wife's deepest need. Now, before I do anything in church, that's my primary duty, to meet my wife's deepest need. Now, I've got a book at home by Larry Crabb, and he's a Christian psychologist. And I'd rather think Ron McNeil would introduce him to me, because we both went down to see him at Manchester, in Manchester. And he says in his book, no man can meet another man's deepest need. That is only a thing that God can do. Now, who's right? Well, may I suggest we're both right. Because I believe I'm meant to be the conduit through which God can transfer his love to Sheila. And that's how we work together, God and man. It's the life of God flowing through the soul of man. One last thought. One night, I don't know what time it would be, probably 2 o'clock in the morning, she'd awakened me up from a sound sleep. John, will you do something for me? Will you go downstairs and get something for me? I said, but you don't want it now, surely? She says, yes, I want it now. And I went downstairs and I did it with such joy. You cannot imagine the joy I got of doing this, getting whatever Sheila wanted, bringing it upstairs. And the joy that I got was to realize that this was an opportunity for me to show my gratitude to God for what he'd done for me. And it's my way of showing gratitude to Sheila for meeting my deepest needs over the last 59 years. And that's where I leave you, folks. It's what Peter Maiden calls radical gratitude. It's radical because it's life-changing. May each one of us experience this radical gratitude that changes our lives. In Jesus' name, Amen.